The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The tax collectors and the sinners were all seeking the company of Jesus to hear what he had to say. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. This man, they said, welcomes sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. A man had two sons. The younger said to his father, Father, let me have the share of the estate that would come to me. So the father divided the property between them. A few days later, the younger son got together everything he had and left for a distant country, where he squandered his money on a life of debauchery. When he had spent it all, that country experienced a severe famine, and now he began to feel the pinch. So he hired himself out to one of the local inhabitants who put him on his farm to feed the pigs. And he would willingly have filled his belly with the husks the pigs were eating, but no one offered him anything. Then he came to his senses, said, how many of my father's paid servants have more food than they want? And here am I dying of hunger. I will leave this place and go to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as one of your paid servants. So he left the place and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with pity. He ran to the boy, clasped him in his arms, and kissed him tenderly. Then his son said, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the calf we have been fattening and kill it. We're going to have a feast, a celebration. Because this son of mine was dead and has come back to life, he was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now the elder son was out in the fields, and on his way back, as he drew near the house, he could hear music and dancing. Calling one of his servants, he asked what it was all about. Your brother has come, replied the servant, and your father has killed the calf we had fattened because he has got him back safe and sound. He was angry then and refused to go in. And his father came out to plead with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've slaved for you and never once disobeyed your orders, yet you never offered me so much as a kid for me to celebrate with my friends. But for this son of yours, when he comes back after swallowing up your property, he and his women, you kill the calf we'd been fattening. The father said, my son, you are with me always, and all I have is yours. But it is only right we should celebrate and rejoice, because your brother here was dead and has come to life. He was lost and is found. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, which role in the story fills you today? I think during our lifetime, we can often feel that we fit into different bits, different roles of the three key players in the story there. In our younger days, maybe, or now, or the one just wanting to go off and enjoy yourself at father's expense, no sense of waiting. What you often hear is, what do you want? My inheritance. When do you want it? Now. And off he goes. Or maybe you are, or you still are, or were, the one who stayed at home safely with work and food and clothes and warmth of family, but resentment building up. Not enjoying the good things at all, but seething, as it were, as time goes by. Obviously, we're very familiar with the parable, we've heard it. Actually, this year we get it three times because we're reading the Gospel of Luke. It comes later in the year. It comes on a weekday always in Lent, and it comes tonight. So it's the Lord saying always, of course, something to us. Obviously, it's probably one of the most beautiful and often picked up. So many artists, not just Rembrandt, Rembrandt's, of course, was the famous painting that we all probably remember from leading up to the millennium, that famous picture that moved us a lot at that time. And, of course, Henry Nouwen's commentary upon it, many parishes studied. We did it in Weymouth, in the parish before I was there too. And no doubt, I'm sure you did it here as well. What it tells us is that parables are there to move us, to move us so that we can see ourselves in the parable. And what are we in that? The younger son, the older son, the father? Where do we stand? Sometimes we're one, sometimes we're the other, sometimes we're the father there, as it were, in the middle. And which do we play? Or have we played? Or as a parent, maybe, or as a grandparent, are you having to play off one against another within the family? We know. But the great line is the line, and I was absolutely amazed at this, and she wouldn't mind me saying it because she's not in this parish, but one lady who'd grown up with the parables, she'd gone to church since she was a baby, and she was in her early 50s, and she'd read it for the First Holy Communion umpteen times and in school. And then one year she said, "I never remember that bit. He came to his senses." That's the key bit in a way, isn't it? We come to our senses, whatever's gone in. And I'm sure we've all at different times engaged in the same sort of monologue, which we sort of rehearse what we're going to say when we come back. I'm going to go to my father, I'm going to tell him all this. And so from the depths of his despair, he realizes what he must do, comes to his senses, sets off to the Father. But the reason for the parable is actually quite important. It's because the scribes and the Pharisees were furious that he was eating with sinners. It was all right to eat with them. They weren't sinners. But all this business of eating with sinners, totally wrong. And they don't grasp that the whole reason for him coming is to do just that. The reason Jesus comes is to show the love and the mercy and the forgiveness and the pity and the compassion of the Lord God. And he comes so that they can see that and experience it with them here on earth. That's the whole point of the Lord coming. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. But he comes to show us that mercy and that forgiveness and that compassion and that pity that the Father had pity there. A merciful God. So that eating and drinking with sinners, Jesus is acting on behalf of his Father. And he makes the merciful God appear. And in a way, of course, that's what he does at every Eucharist, every Mass. That's why God celebrates the feast with us. He invites us. And that word, Laetare Sunday, as it is with Gaudete Sunday, rejoice. Rejoice because we're all welcome, whatever we've been, whatever we've done, we're found with the Father. That's why I always say at the start of every Mass, welcome, or at least on weekends. Not that you're missing out on weekdays, but sometimes weekends we're most welcome in the Father's house because our Father's house is home to us. And Jesus understands that his mission is seeking those who are lost, who've come to grief, who've given up on life, of faith, or of themselves, or everything around them. Because repentance is always possible. And that's one of the strong parts, of course, of Lent, is that coming back, repentance, turning once again to the Lord. And that means to the church, because that's where we receive the forgiveness of sins. It's where we also have the responsibility, as Paul said, we're ambassadors for Christ. And when we've received at the Lord's hands, we then should reflect that in the way we treat each other. That's something to reflect on how sometimes, even with our own communities, every parish the same, how we treat and respect and value and what we do to each other. Because we shouldn't forget the elder son in the joyful festivities, who's seething with rage at his father. And sometimes we find we too can be seething with rage at whatever is going on. And he does, as the father goes out to him, as he went out to the other son, and the son, seething with rage, doesn't even want to recognize the relationships that he has with his brother. He doesn't speak, that brother, that son of yours, nothing to do with me. He's no me. And how often we can undermine relationships by that sort of attitude. And so it's getting us to see, as St. Paul picked up in that reading, if we are to be ambassadors for Christ, then whichever of the two sons we may play, our role too, when we've been forgiven, is to be like the Father. Because it's how the Father reacts to us and forgives us, how we then can go on and do the same. And the interesting thing I always like about the Father, if you think of it, we all know family fallouts, these things happen, and sometimes we just won't be the first to make the move, and you stand behind the door waiting for the doorbell to ring and arms folded. What you want, you old wretch? You've come home, I suppose. No, the father in this story runs out. As soon as he spots the little lad on the horizon, he runs out, arms wide open in welcome. And neither son is excluded from the Father's mercy, and nor are we. If we move from the pits of remorse to the steps of repentance, then we come to the table of rejoicing. And in a way, it's spelled out for us each time we come to Mass, isn't it? Because we're welcomed in the Father's house, but we tell him we're sorry for whatever we've done. We receive his forgiveness. And in this year of mercy, remember again the wonderful mercy of God, who loves us, reaches out to us, welcomes us.